We are in the book of Jude, not for much longer. We are in the final section. It's always a sad day for me when we finish a book study, because I just thoroughly and.
But it will probably take us three studies to finish the book of Jude on these last two verses. That's my anticipation. And so by the first of the year, we'll be doing something else on Wednesday nights. And so Jude verse number 24. Let's go ahead and read verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And so with these words, God concludes this short epistle that we know as the book of Jude. But in verse number 24 is where we'll be spending our time tonight, and Lord willing, probably next time as well. But we see eternal security. I say from time to time that you'll find eternal security on every page of the Word of God. And if you just look for it and think about what you're reading, it's there on just about virtually every single page. And the book of Jude is no different. And so here we find, first of all, the preservation of God. It tells us in the very beginning part of that verse, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. He's able. And does God not have power? That's what some say. He can't keep you. He might save you, but then you've got to do your part, otherwise you'll be lost in the fires of hell for all eternity. But if we remember how God is described in verse number 25, and I don't have a very long blank there, and of course, God gives a long definition, but I would just put the word awesome. I think if you wanted to give a one-word definition of or title of verse 25, just the word awesome. I think that says it all. We will stand back in awe when we stand before the throne of God. It'll be an amazing thing to, I mean, we'll certainly at some point behold the city and all of its grandeur, and I can't wait to see those foundations. I don't believe I'm going to be colorblind in heaven. And you know what the first thing you see when you get into heaven, according to Revelation chapter 4? You see the throne, and what's around that throne? The rainbow, a green rainbow. You know, today I was, Pastor Stephen and I were getting the bulletin board ready. You know how we have the red ribbon strips that, connect the country to the missionary letter? I was looking up here and I had it in my hand. I thought I saw the corner of my eye something drop, and I looked down. I must have been mistaken. I must have just seen something. Well, a little bit later, I dropped one of the pins. I bent down to get the pin, and there's that red ribbon laying on the floor, same color as the carpet. Go figure. So I can't wait to get up there and see all the color, and especially that green rainbow. I'm just kind of curious what green really looks like, but what a day that'll be. God can keep us, because that's what the Word of God promises us, and we'll see some verses here in just a little while, that it's not up to us. It's not up to you, nor is it up to me, because God knows if it were, we would fail miserably. So he said, I'll do it. He's omnipotent. He is able, an awesome God. And so as we consider this, we realize that God is the source of our salvation. He is the source of our salvation, and all eternal security must begin with him. Look over, if you would, in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 9. Speaking of Lord Jesus Christ, he says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And so we know the idea behind the obedience isn't keeping the Ten Commandments or doing a list of this or that, but it's just simply obeying what provision he has made to receive that salvation, which is simply putting our faith in him and asking him to save us and trusting him. And so he's the source. He's the one who originated the plan of salvation. We could go to other scripture and we can see that God, before the foundation of the world, came up with a plan of salvation because he knew that when he created this world and put man in it, that man would sin. And so its origination is from God. And so he is the one who controls salvation. We don't make it up in our mind as we go. We can't change what the Word of God clearly reveals. And over again, and I've said this many times too, that when I first got saved, I never had an issue with eternal security because I read the Bible and believed what it said, just because I'm very simple-minded. God said eternal life. That was good enough for me. That meant it was eternal. And a two-year-old, well, maybe not a two-year-old, but a three-year-old can define eternal. And so in our minds that we try to define what salvation is and isn't, and we make mistakes. And that's why they say that the ability to lose one's salvation is the doctrinal position that is growing greater and greater. And the position that Baptists have historically held, that of eternal security, once saved, always saved, is becoming a smaller and smaller group today. It's because men are making things up as they go along. But if we stay with the Word of God, God is very clear on this. And again, we're going to see more verses in just a little while. But remember, God is the source of our salvation. And eternal security begins and ends with him. Number three, God also is the keeper of our salvation. And all eternal security must rest with him. He is the keeper of our salvation. It's not in our hands. Look over in John chapter 10. Whose hands are we in? I think you probably don't even have to look. You probably know pretty much what this passage says. You may not be able to quote it word for word, but you know what he's saying. But let's go ahead and read it anyway, because this is one of the most important doctrinal things you need to know in this world today. Because so many people question whether or not once saved, always saved is a Bible doctrine. It's been so messed up by so many people. And it'd be nice to be able to say that if you don't attend church, you're going to lose your salvation because guess what? People are going to get scared and they're going to be in church all the time. There's one large denomination that does that and has a very faithful following. And that's unfortunate. It's a religion of fear, and it is nothing more than a religion. But that's not what God said. And so here we go in John chapter 10, verse 29. And I'm supposed to be reading 28 and 29. I wrote the wrong verses on the sheet. So verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And so whose hands are we in? We're in the Father's hands. And no one can get us out of the Father's hands. I know some will argue, well, we can wiggle our way out. Well, I'm a someone. Aren't you? I think you are. And so to say that we can do that is contradicting the very Word of God. That's why I've said that we have the Word of God on it. We have to let this book be our final authority. And there aren't more than one way, or there isn't more than one way to interpret this and understand it. If someone says that's just your interpretation, that's just common sense interpretation. If I want to make words not mean what they mean, like the word eternal, you know, I can't deal with that if someone wants to change that. If someone wants to redefine words and terminology, a lot of that's being done. You'd be surprised. But the Word of God, if you take it for what it says, it teaches eternal security. Every time you turn around, you're bumping into it. I think I've told you before, that's how my wife and I wound up building our relationship. Because when we first met, when her sister was playing Cupid, we weren't impressed with each other. But she went to a church that taught that you could lose your salvation. And I absolutely couldn't believe it. I'd only been saved for a few months when I met her. And so every time I came across a verse, I'd call her. Say, hey, have you ever thought about this verse? And there's so many in there. I was talking to her just about every day. And it's everywhere you look if you have your eyes open. All right, so in whose hands are we? We're in the Father's. All right? Small letter B. By faith we are persuaded. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Now, that right there is the key to this verse. I know whom I have believed. We're going to talk about them in verse 25 in the book of Jude. We just summed it up tonight as God is awesome. That's who is the source of our salvation and the keeper of our salvation. I know whom I have believed. Now, if God is just a little God, if God is not omnipotent, if God is not omniscient, then I could lose my salvation. If he isn't eternal, then certainly I'm going to have to do something to help him out to keep me saved. But God is all of those things, and there's nothing left for me to do. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded, because he knows who God is. Then he has faith in Almighty God. He's persuaded. You know what? I'm not persuaded that Michigan can beat Alabama. I think they can. I hope they can. But I'm not persuaded. But you know what? If we were playing Appalachian State, in spite of the history, I'd be pretty much persuaded we would whoop them this time around, because I just believe it. I believe that God can save me because I know who he is, his love, his power. Therefore, I am fully persuaded because I believe it. It's called faith. He's persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. In other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying here under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he said, there ain't no way I'm ever going to be lost. Oliver Areza, he's an evangelist. He had worked with Randy Taylor for years, and maybe about 7-8 years ago went off on his own. But he preached a sermon, if I had to say top three sermons, it's one of those top three. It was just simply entitled, Tell Hell I Ain't Coming. That was the title of his sermon. And he said the way it all originated, they were at the camp. The last night of camp every week, they have a big bonfire and stay up real late. But after all the kids went to bed, some of the staff was sitting around talking. And he and another fella at the camp decided that would be a good title for a sermon. And so Oliver put it into a sermon, and man, that thing was powerful, I'll tell you what. But anyway, we can all say that as believers, because we're persuaded of the love of God, the mercy of God, the power of God, the eternality of God. Tell hell I ain't coming, because there ain't no way I can ever get there. Even if I wanted to, even if I tried, even if I went out and robbed every bank I could find and killed everybody I could run my car into, because I don't have a firearm or anything, but I still couldn't go to hell. And you think of all the worst sins that we can commit. If I went out and intentionally did it because I was trying to go, I couldn't. It's just an impossibility, because I have nothing to do with it once I have it. God keeps it. That's the promise of his word. Now, by the grace of God, I'll never do those things, but I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. By faith we are persuaded. That's what faith is. If we don't have that persuasion towards our faith, we just have minuscule faith. You know, the crowd, I'm thinking the charismatic crowd, the name it and claim it clan, they like to think that they have this humongous faith to believe God for anything. But you know, they can't believe God for salvation. They think they're going to lose it if they cross a line. They can't tell you where that line is, but it's just lunacy. But that's what happens when you leave the Word of God and leave it up to your own imagination. And so, anyway, let's move on. Small letter C. By whose power are we kept? This is a verse I allude to often. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, we're kept by God's power. If the word eternal or everlasting in the life that God gives us aren't enough, get this one down. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It says it all right there. When it comes to what do I have to do to keep myself saved? Now, they don't ask it in that way. They usually say, what do I have to do to lose it? Or you know, what will cause me to lose it? But God says we're kept by His power. He's strong enough. He's powerful enough. We've already talked about that. But I like what kind of what it says at the end of this verse, too, where it says, ready to be revealed in the last time. I remember when my kids were little and at Christmas time, there's always some gift that they really, 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 really want. And so you buy it for them and you wrap it up and you put it under the tree or whatever you do with it. And you just can't wait. I mean, sometimes you get more excited than the kids, don't you? Because you're just full of anticipation for that moment when you can give it to them and they take it out of the box and they just have a ball with it. At least for a day, and then the box becomes more interesting, at least when they're little. But we've been there. Well, that's what God is like in heaven. He says, man, I can't wait till that day. I can't wait till they get up here and see what I prepared for them and what heaven is all like, and when they can see me in all of my glory. And he's just full of anticipation. That's kind of what the last phrase in that verse is telling us. Now, he's just tickled pink that we are on our way to heaven. That's something. That almighty, entirely holy, perfectly holy God is tickled pink that you and I are saved. That's really an awesome thought right there. But he is. And I don't know if we'll make it that far. In fact, we're not going to make it that far tonight. But this verse tells us that at the end of the verse when he says, with exceeding joy. Man, that really tickled my blessing bone when I was reviewing for this lesson today. That's what God thinks about when we stand before Him. But anyway, we've got to back up a little bit and get back where we're at. We're kept by the power of God. And so, by whose power are we kept? God's. Then, letter D, in whom are we preserved? Jude already mentioned it, yeah, in Jesus Christ, in verse number 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Preserved in Jesus Christ. And so, again, it's all based on what He did. Not what we did or will do, but what He did. Preserved in Jesus Christ. When you go to the grocery store and you buy some strawberry preserves or whatever flavor preserves you like, aren't you glad when you get home, you turn that cap and you hear that pop? Isn't that a good thing? You ever get one and it didn't pop? I never did. I wouldn't know what to do if it did. I know I'd take it back. That means it's been preserved. Well, God's better than that jar of preserves because He ain't losing it. You know, sometimes it's possible, but here it's not. It's possible with a jar of jelly, but not with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're preserved in Him. Now, we could go on and on and on for weeks, literally, looking at different verses showing eternal security. This is just a handful, just four of them. And it's all through the Word of God. And we could go every single time the word everlasting or eternal life is mentioned in the Word of God. And because it's there. Throughout the Old Testament, in type and in bold statement, God assures us of eternal security. And so the preservation of God. Let's start looking at the presentation of God, presenting us faultless. That's a wonderful statement. I just love the Word of God, the way He says it and what He says, things that we would never dream possible. I'm going to read you a note out of the Rock of Ages study Bible because I thought it was pretty good on this idea of being faultless. And so bear with me. I know it's harder when I read something to follow along, but try to listen. It says, to be faultless is better than to be merely blameless. As long as Christians are on earth with our old sinful natures, we shall have faults. But God will not blame us since he has already laid the blame on Christ. One day, however, when we are glorified, these sinful natures will be gone forever. Then we shall not only be blameless, but without fault. Then we shall be perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so aware, at least we should be, I hope you are, of our faults here in this world. But as that study note says, God doesn't hold it against us. Christ paid for that fault or that sin in our life. But there's a day coming when we don't have a single fault. Man, I can't wait for that day to stand before him in all of his perfect holiness, to have no more sin nature, no more devil to try to lead us astray. And boy, what a wonderful, wonderful day that will be. And so in this presentation, he's going to present us faultless. Now, in this book, the book of Jude, God is able to guard over us. Remember it says at the beginning of this verse, unto him that is able to keep us. But he's able to do some things in our lives here while we're walking in this sinful flesh. And you notice the small ones and twos in, well, they're the same size as the others, but the ones that have a parentheses on the other side. The number one is always the Holy Spirit, and the number two is the Word of God. You see, these are the keys to the Christian life. We're trying to do things without the power of the Holy Spirit or the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we fail miserably because if we're not being led of the Spirit, we're walking in the flesh, and the flesh cannot please God. And then the Word of God. As I talked about our charismatic friends, so often they just make things up, and they're not alone in that. When we taught the in the Bible Institute down in Bucyrus, I taught the doctrinal class. And sometimes our textbook, the author, while it was it's a tremendous book, I'd recommend it with almost no hesitation. But sometimes he just makes stuff up. It's not there in the Bible. And so we just need to let the Bible be our final authority. And we need to apply it in every area of our lives. And if we do that, God will put this hedge of protection about us. And so, small letter A, he can guard us from falling into doctrinal error. He can guard us from falling into doctrinal error. Verse number 3 of the book of Jude says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And then throughout the book, he goes on and talks about these certain men crept in unawares who were propagating false doctrine. Well, God is able to keep us from falling into doctrinal error. And boy, there's a lot of it today. Pastor Stephen has a fellow that he discusses doctrine with. This fellow's into some false doctrine. He's following the Andersonites. And a lot of false doctrine there. And so anyway, the Bible has to be our authority. It's prevalent today. And so the Holy Spirit will help us, look in John 16:13, and guard us from falling into doctrinal error. John chapter 16, verse number 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. We just have to be willing to listen and let the Holy Spirit be our guide. And then the Word of God also will help keep us from being carried about with every wind of doctrine. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15 should be a very familiar verse where it tells us, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so God has given us the Holy Spirit and His Word to guard over us, to keep us from falling into doctrinal error. Now, there's other things that we're going to look at before we're done with verse 24 that the Holy Spirit will keep us and the Word of God will keep us from falling into and God's safeguards in our lives, but we're out of time for tonight. So, Lord willing, we'll pick this up next week. But God is an awesome God. He saved us once and for all. And we know, we don't question, we don't have to wonder. We know one day we'll stand before Him in glory, faultless. What a wonderful thought that is. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the assurance we have, the confidence we can have before You. Lord, we know we're far from perfect here below with the sin nature as it rears its ugly head and carries so much power and sway in our lives. Help us to heed Your Holy Spirit and Your Word that we might walk before You in faith. Thank You for eternal life. Now bless us, we pray, as we go our separate ways in Jesus' name. Amen.